Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Welcome back to the show. Spanish police have, according to reports, reinforced border checks as they hunt for the last remaining suspects over the attacks in Barcelona and Cambrils that killed 14 people and injured many others. Meanwhile, reports say that police have searched the home of a missing imam, whom they say radicalized the suspects behind the attacks. Online is James Glancy, defense and security consultant. James, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
Looking at the situation in Barcelona, in Spain, have the authorities managed to come up with a sort of coherent idea of exactly what happened and, of course, who was behind the attacks? I think that's the big question.
Well, last Friday, just for the weekend, Islamic State claimed responsibility on their social media, and the pattern of attack is very similar to what they've been calling for in their online magazine, which is called Al-Ramaya. They've been calling for attacks using vehicles, and that came out earlier in the year. As you can see across Europe, there's been a lot of these vehicle ramming attacks. So in Spain, we think there's a cell called the Cell of Tarragona, and that is that cell responsible, who have been radicalized in southern Spain. That cell has been responsible for this attack, and it's believed that they and the imam who has radicalized them have the links to the Islamic State.
This is tragic in a sense, isn't it? Because Muslims are a minority in Spain. Isn't this going to make life extremely hard for the majority of the Muslim population, who are as appalled as anybody by what's happened?
Well, if you look at Spain and Portugal, they've always had very strong historical Islamic links. It used to be, in fact, southern Spain used to be part of an Islamic caliphate, the Islamic Kingdom of Andalus, Al-Andalus. And they have a very strong connection with the population, Muslim population from Morocco. And they've lived in harmony for a long time. So I would say, yes, there are going to be some reactionary elements with Spanish society that will, you know, call for restrictions and make things slightly unpleasant. But generally, relationships in Spain between the Islamic, Christian, and other communities have been good. So we would hope that they don't deteriorate as a result of this.
There's also something else that must be very worrying for authorities, and this is something that we've been picking up in the media, that as ISIS or Daesh, whatever you want to call it, gets hammered in Iraq and Syria, which seems to be the case, that a lot of those who were involved in Syria and Iraq are filtering back to Europe. And even some of the mindsets, as you've just described via the magazine and their social media platforms, is sort of going back to Europe. The focus seems to be shifting a little bit. That must be a cause for concern in terms of security.
It's been the strategy of IS. They knew that they were going to lose their territory in Syria and Iraq. So the next phase was always going to be a small isolated attack across Europe, and they already planted sleeper cells across Europe, ready for this stage when they lost Raqqa, when they lost Mosul. They've also got other territories they've been looking at and increasing their footprint, such as in Afghanistan, Indonesia, and Libya. But as you say, it is a worrying development, but security services across Europe have been expecting it. What's difficult is just the number of people that they have to monitor. And that's what presents security services a real real issue in keeping the respective countries safe.
Now, in terms of the whole landscape, the landscape that is basically creating terror for lots and lots of innocent people, are Spanish authorities confident that they will have cracked it with this particular cell? Or is this just the beginning of a slow, insidious kind of an assault?
Well, the last attacks, last major attack in Spain was 2004, when Al-Qaeda hit the Madrid trains, and a lot of people were killed. It's been a long time since they've had a major terrorist attack on Spanish soil, so that would indicate that the Spanish authorities and security services have got things under control. This cell clearly went unnoticed, and that's going to be cause concern. But what it will do will mean that they'll redouble their effort to make sure that they take appropriate measures to monitor those they are worried about. And across Europe, everyone is on high alert. What you've got to remember is the terrorist only has to get it right once to cause an atrocity, whereas the security services, they have to capture these guys every time. So it does make it difficult, especially when there is large numbers of people that have been radicalized across Europe.
It's sad in the sense that one person with one AK-47, or as in the case of Paris and Barcelona and other parts of Europe, one person with a truck, just one person, can create absolute mayhem. That, I'm sure you agree, is got to be such a headache for any intelligence or security agency anywhere in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but you've got to put it into perspective. Across Europe, you look at the number of fatalities caused by terrorism compared to outbreaks of the viruses, natural causes, or whether it's just a very cold winter in Northern Europe or a very, very hot summer. The numbers of people are still relatively low, and the hysteria that surrounds terrorism is largely media-based. So you just got to put it into perspective. The security services are working very hard, but even if you add up the numbers across Europe that are being killed each year by terrorists, it is surprisingly low.
In fact, I mean, that is an extremely valid point you make. I mean, probably more people dying definitely more people dying, for example, in car accidents and, as you say, even homeless people sleeping outside in the cold. But it does seem as if you just say the word ISIS, and there's a headline. That seems to be also part of the problem in the sense that here, if it bleeds, it's definitely going to lead if it's got the ISIS stamp on it.
And that's the power of the brand, which is why Al-Qaeda and ISIS are in a competition to be the global leader of jihadi terrorism. Now, if this had been an incident where a drunken driver had gone down Les Ramblas and killed 12 people, we wouldn't be having this conversation from London to South Africa. But because
Absolutely.
It's got that brand of terrorism on it, it makes it a lot more attractive to the media and for people to consume, to read. So that is an issue. It is a brand. It's a franchise brand, and that's part of the problem.
Do you think that maybe also what needs to be done is some kind of educational process where everybody can begin to realize that what Al-Qaeda, Daesh, ISIS stand for is in fact not even religious when it boils down to what they're trying to do, and that most Muslims and most human beings would never ever support such a thing.
But I think what you're talking about is radicalization, and that is the same for far-right radicals, that is the same for all other religions that attract people to the fringes. Those people that perpetrate terror are normally doing it because they are very religious. They usually got another reason, ulterior motive, a sense of they want a sense of belonging to a cause, and they're sometimes disenfranchised in society. There's a lot of issues that cause people to become terrorists. Now, you can't just pin it on Islam itself, and there are other factors that need to be considered. It's an incredibly complex subject, which is causing a lot of debate in the United Kingdom, US, Europe right now, of how we deal with it.
And of course, to sort of slightly correct you, I don't think you can even tie it down to people who would even claim to be slightly religious, because if one looks at the psychological profiles of a number of people from these movements who've been caught to have tried to commit terror attacks, some of them, for example, spending the night in a bar before they go and do something, that was the case in 9/11, etc., people going to Syria with Islam for Dummies in their back pocket, that kind of stuff. So it seems to be a far wider problem than just being religious. It seems as if it's ties into geopolitics, into socioeconomics, and so many other things.
No, absolutely. I fully agree with you there, and that's really the point I'm making. Yes, there is an element within religion, within Islam, that that support a radical interpretation of the religion, you know, the Wahhabi and Salafist sects of the religion do promote a very hardline version of Sharia law. But the perpetrators are definitely from backgrounds, as you described, who are more easily radicalized. And that's what we need to get to the root cause of.
And James Glancy, a final question. Do you think most of the perpetrators in this cell this time around have been hunted down, that they have all been brought to book?
Well, I mean, I'm not privy to that information at the moment. We know that most of them have actually been killed. What's worrying is that the driver who drove on Las Ramblas, he is at large. He killed somebody with a knife. Another person has been added to the death toll today. He stole their car, hijacked their car, and he's at large somewhere. And no doubt he'll be trying to leave Spain and get elsewhere into Europe, you know, towards North Africa or back towards Syria. But believe me, the security forces across Europe are trying to track him down.
James Glancy, Defence and Security Analyst, thanks for chatting to us on Voice of the Cape Drive Time.
Thank you very much, and I look forward to visiting Cape Town in February.
Great city. Thanks a lot.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.